Council, whilst you were here, will be that of the Honorable Mr. Johnson, who will be conducting your hearing, sir, reading your hearing.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Sir, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record, please?
Nicholas Daniel Zalewski, 289-958.
Okay. Sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I am going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today, sir. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. You have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, and myself, sir. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your lead on your hearing this morning. Also with us, sir, today, representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole office, is Mr. Turner, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Dereski, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form.
I'm having a little trouble understanding you. I'm sorry.
All right. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Have I received it?
Yes, sir. Did you get a copy of that form you signed notifying you of your hearing today?
Not today.
No, but did you sign it? Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yeah, I think you need to be at this hearing.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right. So just to make sure that we're clear, you actually signed the form on April 12th of this year, sir. You caught that?
Yes. Did I sign the form, if I hear you correctly, that I wasn't waiving the hearing?
My main
reason was I didn't want to show any disrespect to the system, and I wanted to make sure that they understood that I just wanted to comply.
Okay.
And leave it in their hands.
All right, sir. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I speak on my own behalf, sir.
All right, thank you. So, at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in, okay? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir. I do.
Okay. So, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether you violated the terms and condition of your supervision. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have two allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read the allegations to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. So the first allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to complete the V-Ray Residential Treatment Program as directed in writing on or about September 20th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That actually would be false. Okay. I graduated from MRC.
Okay, well, it's not MRC.
I see. Okay.
The 90-day V-Ray Residential Treatment Program.
Okay, then yes, it would be true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, the second allegation on your warrant states that you have violated Arizona Condition of Supervision number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2501 West Elm Street on or about October 8, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. The defendant's whereabouts are unknown, thus you have absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
It would be true. It was my original parole address that I went to.
Okay. Sir, thank you, sir. So based on the admission of Mr. Dereski, I'm going to find that he was a linker, that he may violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, but he may have lapses, was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, just one moment, sir. I need to just mark some paperwork.
Yes.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Dr. Wright, agreed by Mr. Neal, and agreed Mr. Quinones. Sir, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start off phase two, sir. We'll get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then I'm going to go over some information with you, sir, and the board, see if there's any questions that the board have. Then we're going to give you the opportunity, Mr. Dulowski, to see if there's anything that you'd like to say to the board and present whatever information you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Turner.
All right, Mr. Dulowski was released from ADC custody on 7/3/2017 and arrested on 4/1/2018 by Scottsdale PD. No new charges. He was returned back to ADC custody on 4/1/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 7/23/2018 with 175 abscondes. Current conviction, 2015 dangerous drug violation, 2 years and 6 months. Prior conviction, 2014 criminal trespassing in the first degree, 1 year. This is his second term in ADC custody with a CUIR score of 2-1, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2014 TIS release, completed 1 month. Disciplinary is minimal. Other arrests, 2004 domestic violence in Colorado, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2004 theft in North Dakota, felony conviction, state prison. 2008 escape, North Dakota, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2008 misdemeanor conduct involving weapons in North Dakota, felony conviction, state prison. 2011 drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. He has a GV score of G3B3.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. So, sir, I see that when you were released from prison, you were approved to reside with your mother, Ms. Heidi Dulowski, at 11003 North 15th Avenue in Phoenix. But due to your relapse, you were placed into the Maricopa Reentry Center located at 24601 North 29th Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona. And then you completed the 30-day MRC, and upon completion, you were accepted into the V-Ray program located at 2501 West Elm Street. Is that right, sir?
Yes, that is true.
Okay. Did you work during that period of time, sir? Were you working?
Excuse me, one more time?
Were you working during any of this period of time?
I'm not sure if I understood your question.
Sir, did you have a job?
No, I hadn't had a chance to do that yet. I was in the day counseling.
Okay. This says that you reported to the initial intake on July 5th and 17th. You were placed on task and testing history is as follows: that you missed your UA on July 26th of 17. You had a positive UA for methamphetamine on July 27th of 17. On August 18th of 17, you had a negative UA. Then on August 22nd, August 25th, September 1st, September 6th, September 12th, and September 25th, 25 of 17, looks like you had negative UAs. You were staffed on August 26th for your use of methamphetamine and sent you to complete the 30-day MRC program, which you did. And then looks like you asked for more help, and then you were put into Greenway for a 90-day residential treatment program. Then you left the program October 8th of 17 and lost all contact with your parole officer. What happened, sir? Did you relapse, or you had those negatives, and then all of a sudden you were put in the program that you asked for, and then you just walked off and left the program? What happened, Mr. Dulowski?
Well, I guess that is a good question, and I'm still kind of wrestling with, what all kind of has happened and what happened. It wasn't a relapse as much as it was trying to avoid one. There was many issues happening right there at that address, 2501, and there was some staff that was involved in methamphetamine, and I was getting a little bit edgy about it. There's another factor in the situation too, and it's something that I need to come to grips with, which is a foundational portion of where my failure is, and that's being a little bit codependent through my family that is struggling with their own addictions as far as alcohol goes, and my brother being an active alcoholic, and you know, is kind of an abusive situation to my mom. I found myself kind of justifying my move on one hand because of the usage that was happening at the Vivre, and I didn't go about it the proper way. Instead of doing it correctly, I should have gone to my parole officer, and I should have extended that concern to her right off the bat. Instead, I justified it because when I went home for my mom's birthday on October 5th to spend it with her birthday, it was kind of a nightmare over there as far as my brother, and I used that to say I needed to be there to protect her or to try to fix a situation that I've learned now I cannot fix that. I can't fix my wife back in North Dakota with all those things I went through there. I need to focus on myself. And I was a little sorry that I had left, and so instead of trying to reach out to fix it, I basically just kind of gave up a little bit. I did relapse one time during that time, but in the last, I would say 3.5 months, I had met a couple people that were pretty positive. I got reconnected with my son, who's a very strong Christian, that he turned out to be a very, good kid. And he was a support for me. But living there at my mom's, it was only a matter of time before it would have wound up me getting in much deeper trouble anyway, eventually. So it was my birthday, and a friend of mine decided to take me to dinner, and I'm only thankful that we got pulled over, because I was living in a subway. It was not correct, and all I can say is that I don't have all the answers, and the program itself at Vivre, I really loved it. I loved the counselors that I had met there, but it was this thing that was happening there kind of after hours, and I didn't know how to quite deal with it, and like I said, I kind of went both ways, so I'm kind of partly to blame for not handling it correctly. I'd like to try to do things a little different. My vocational situation's a mess. My back child supports, it's $201,000. It overwhelms me sometimes. I get caught up in that overwhelming, all these things hitting me at once. I do know that I can't fix the situations that I have around me and my family. I know that I need to be on my own, and that's pretty much all I can say, is that I wish I would have handled it a little bit differently. And I think that if I'm ever in that situation again, I believe that I probably would. I'm very grateful to actually be here, that I was sent to this yard. It's been a very good thing for me to wake up and smell the coffee before something tragic could have happened, or I could have wound up going down a more windy road, and I don't want that. I'm getting too old for that. I'd like to fix my life. I just need some help with the financial things. Someone to show me a way to mentor me into, how do I do this? I mean, how do I, my whole check goes to this back child support, and yet I don't say that I don't have the debt. I agree, and I know that I do, and I just, it overwhelms me, and I don't reach out enough. I get stubborn, my pride kicks in. I guess I just need some support that way. Structured living, I guess, is something I need. I know that. And I was so caught up in my mother and my brother's situation over there that I was blinded, and I left my own life aside. And so I know that now it's just impossible for me to fix that for them. I can only fix me if that's possible, And so I leave it with that, I guess, is the best explanation I can come up with. And I do apologize once again, at any level, for whatever decision is made, regardless of the reason that I didn't waive this, was just, I just wanted to put forth an apology, that I know that you've all reached out very much to me. The MRC program was wonderful. I left with all these tools that basically were for addiction, and I kind of wound up going to a place I wasn't prepared to. I thought it would be a little bit more bright, and I know that I need to be prepared to walk in a world where there's going to be things around me, and I kind of babied out when I went, and I used it to justify me going back to, I got to save my mom type thing, and I know that I can't do that, and so I know it's sad and everything, but it's the only way I can help that situation is by me rising up separately, maybe from a close distance, but not together in this situation. It's only going to make me pull me down into it, and then I'll start to drink, and then eventually the drinking will lead to more drug use. And so I kind of got into the drinking part at the end there, and I'd like to leave it at that, and I don't want to go any further than that, because the drinking's only a trigger for the rest, and that's all I can really say to you guys, and I just appreciate your time today.
Mr. Blasky, you said that you were driving when you were stopped, or you just said you were stopped by the Scottsdale Police Department. Where were you driving, or what happened when you were stopped by the police?
A friend of the family's, she had made reservations for my birthday. It was on the 31st of March to take me to dinner at a place I'd never heard of. It was called the Salt Cellar or something like that in Scottsdale. And so my brother and my mom wanted to do something with me that day as well, but they were drinking, and I knew that it was reaching a crescendo in my brother and I's relationship where it was just getting a little bit too much, and I needed to back off from that, and so I took the invitation, to get away from it. We went and we ate dinner. We stayed there for several hours just talking. And basically, we went to a park afterwards. I think it was Apache Park or something. We just parked and walked around. She's a little older than me. She was explaining to me about how her brother had passed away and she used to live in a certain place and how much nicer it was in this area that we needed to, that I should consider getting out of the situation I was in. I wasn't really...
Why didn't you stop by the police?
How did what?
Why were you stopped by the police?
I guess apparently her tag was expired or something was going on with her insurance, with her registration. And so I guess apparently since then I got a letter here that said that it was never, it would never turn in anything. So, because I knew that she had insurance, that we had just discussed that. And the discussion I was having with her just before we got pulled over too was that, I just can't do this anymore. I can't fix my mom. I love her to death, but it's killing me inside. It's my brother. I love him too. It's like, I just can't see him kill himself anymore. And I can't, I got to step out of this. And so it was kind of almost like an answer to prayer, really, if you want to know the truth, because I just was saying, I can't go back to this. And here I am, I'm having a good birthday, and I have this thing over my head with parole, and I don't know what else to say, but we did get parole, and then I said, when they asked me for ID, I said, I don't have ID on me, but I'm sure that you'll know I'm telling you the truth when you run my name, because there'll probably be a warrant for my arrest for parole, and sure enough it was, and I went, and so I took it as my birthday gift from God, really, if you want to know the truth. that's really how I look at it.
Okay, Mr. Dorosky, let me see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. Stand by additional questions coming from the board, sir. We're about to come up on a conclusion on your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to this board without repeating yourself, sir?
No, I think that's about it.
Okay. Sir, the board's going into discussion. While we're in discussion, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line. I will remain silent while you're on the line. You'll be able to hear the discussion taking place with the board. During the discussion, we will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, okay? Then we'll get back to you with the conclusion, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. The board is now into discussion. It appears that Mr. Dulaski was doing good for a while, and he came back with several negative UAs, and Cardinal and Mr. Dulaski, he had some problems with his family and some history there, and he left the treatment program that he was in, and he said he left it because he left it under the pretense that he thought he needed to try to fix his mom and his brother's situation. However, he couldn't do that. So he didn't make any effort or attempt to contact his PO. He was absconded for 175 days, and while he was absconded, he was stopped by Scottsdale PD while he was riding in the car with a friend, which just happened to be on his birthday. Mr. Dulaski is due to be released on July 23rd of 2018. During this time, he won't be on any parole or community supervision at that time. I think that it would be best for Mr. Dulaski to go ahead and complete the remainder of his time. When he's released, he won't be on any parole or community supervision. Hopefully, he continues to take some programming while he's there, so that when he is released, that he'll be able to be a productive citizen, won't have any negative contacts with law enforcement after that. That's my opinion. However, I'm just willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues and my one inmate. The rest of my colleagues.
Which one is anybody?
At this time, I want to move to revoke the committee supervision of Mr. Delosky, find that it was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and he had lapses, about to lapse into criminal ways of company, as he was absconded for 175 days. We have no idea exactly what he was doing during that period of time. Also, that he had relapsed and at one point was using drugs, and then also relapsed with alcohol.
Second.
Agreed. Okay, that is, the motion is to revoke it. Motion was made by myself. Motion was made by myself to revoke his community supervision. It was seconded by Mrs. Ridgenhouse. It was agreed by Dr. Riley. Mr. Neal agreed, and Mr. Quinones agreed. Mr. Delosky?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. You will be released on July 23rd of 2018, sir. That's not that far. When you are released, you won't be on any community supervision, sir, nor you have to report to a parole officer. So we do hope that you continue to take some programming while you're still incarcerated. You're doing very well, according to what you're telling us, so that when you are released in July, sir, that you'll be able to be a productive citizen, a much more stronger person out there. You won't be involved in any negative contact with law enforcement, sir. And we wish you the best of luck and the most success that you can accomplish, sir. I want to take the time to thank you for participating in the hearing today. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Delosky.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much also for your time, and I appreciate your decision, and thank you very much, and I will do my best to make a better example to society of everyone when I do get out.
All right, sir. Have a good day. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.